never personal, only politics.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates, the Wednesday edition. Want to thank our most recent guests, a fine one, Marquette University Law School pollster Charles Franklin, friend of ours. Now we welcome my congressman, our friend Mark Pocan. As soon as I get you there, Mark, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. How you doing, friend?
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Well, always great to have you come around, Congressman. Before we jump into the newest congressional action, Mark, got to ask you about the election, the primary election that happened in our backyard. Your old friend Robin Voss had the political fight of his career. Donald Trump came to town and endorsed his opponent, and it went late into the evening, and Voss won, and then he promptly fired Gableman. I want to get your opinion, Congressman.
It's kind of a double loss for Donald Trump, right? He endorsed against Robin Voss, and then his new BFF, Michael Gableman, is going to have to go back and work at Home Depot or wherever he was working. And, you know, it's a big... It's a big thing to have Donald Trump's endorsement in Republican Party primaries. I mean, he still plays well with the MAGA crowd. And, you know, we've just saw it with, you know, Liz Cheney. And we've seen it in Wisconsin with Tim Michaels. And, you know, he picks the most extreme, least prepared people. And they sometimes win their primaries. And that's the state of the Republican Party these days.
Well, the newest polling out today, Mark, would seem to indicate Mandela Barnes is well positioned against Ron Johnson. And I know you enjoy sharing the congressional delegation with Ron, but it'd be a real heartbreaker if the Democrats won a larger senatorial majority in the fall. If Ron Johnson fell, I'm sure that'd break your heart, Mark.
Well, I mean, look, Mandela is a terrific candidate. You know, he was a really great lieutenant governor. He was great in the legislature. But don't forget that poll represents none of the attack ads that are going to be coming on Mandela Barnes. So, you know, it is going to be a close race like every statewide race in Wisconsin pretty much is. And we have to be ready to fight like hell in order to win that. Just like the governor, you know, when we saw that was a 2-point race. Well, Tim Michaels was just up with a whole lot of TV for his primary. And, you know, Tony Evers hasn't been. So that probably makes sense that Tim Michaels was doing maybe a little better than you might expect. But both of these races are going to be close. And the only way that we make sure Ron Johnson's crackpot theories don't continue in the Senate and, you know, Connecticut resident multimillionaire Tim Michaels doesn't become governor of the wrong state is by making sure that we're all very, very active working towards November.
Congressman, normally I wouldn't have you wade into other congressional races, but we play out in the third CD now. Democrat Brad Pfaff is the nominee in the third CD where Ron Kind is stepping down. He's not running for reelection. And Derek Van Orden, who is an insurrectionist, he is the Republican nominee. And we saw this guy, Mark, at the Trump rally a week ago Friday. I mean, this guy is like where Alex Jones meets WWE. This is a really scary character, Mark. And, you know, if you look at the last race, Ron Kind barely held that guy off.
First of all, if he gets elected, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to look pretty moderate, right? This is an extremist. There is no question. But here's what's happened since Ron Kind ran against him and Ron beat him by 20,000 votes in 2020. Since then, he attended the insurrection using his campaign account, which is likely illegal. He is on probation for trying to carry a loaded gun onto a plane in Iowa. He tweeted that the 10-year-old rape victim was likely lying, and then when it came out she hadn't been lying, all he could put was, "I stand corrected," which for a guy who keeps reminding everyone he's a Navy SEAL, that's not exactly an honorable apology. And don't forget, at the Prairie du Chien Library, he got in a fight with a 17-year-old intern over an LGBTQ book display, and then he proceeded to check out all the books but one because someone was reading it, with the intent not to return it. This guy, again, makes Marjorie Taylor Greene look a little bit normal. So, Brad Pfaff is an excellent candidate. He's a state senator. He was the acting secretary of agriculture, and the Republicans refused to confirm him because he talked too aggressively about farmer suicide. So, like, this guy has been so good for farmers that Republicans couldn't even confirm him as a secretary, and that's when he ran for the state Senate. So I think we have a really great candidate, and we have a really awful one on the Republican side. We just have to be able to have the resources to get that messaging out.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Congressman Mark Pocan joining us via phone. Mark, always a pleasure to speak with you. I mean, we can sit here and spend hours and hours lamenting what the GOP has morphed into. But I want to talk about something positive for once, Mark. The Inflation Reduction Act. You tweeted out that this is a win for American people, the American people, and a loss for special interests. Mark, would you please detail that for us?
Well, so, you know, this is the fourth big bill we've done this session, right? We did the American Rescue Plan that put money in people's pockets and put kids back into school safely, people into jobs, shots into arms. Then we passed the infrastructure bill that's going to create 1.5 million jobs. And, you know, we've talked about it for decades. We finally did it. Then we did the CHIPS Act to try to make more of the production of computer chips back here in the United States, because that's been a huge, huge impact on car sales. And then the Inflation Reduction Act does something that is huge. It allows us to negotiate with prescription drug companies for drug prices via Medicare, which will provide big, big savings, and it caps out-of-pocket expenses for seniors on prescription drugs, so no more than $2,000 a year. And 13 million people will continue to receive some subsidies through the Affordable Care Act for health insurance access. And it will get us to 40% of our climate goals, to 40% reduction by 2030. And it will create jobs building solar cells and windmill blades and all the other sort of things right here in the United States. And we do it by having those who are the wealthiest and those who've often found how to game the system, corporations who pay almost no taxes, they're going to be paying for it, because there's going to be a minimum corporate tax and a tax on stock buybacks that the ultra wealthy take advantage of. So, I mean, there's a lot that was good in that bill, but that's the fourth major bill. Any other session, one of those bills would have been the significant piece for the session, and now we've done four of them.
Yeah, well done, Mark. Congratulations. I think it's nice to see governance happen once in a while. Another big part of that bill, the money dedicated for, you know, attacking and fighting climate change. We just heard, yesterday, the Colorado River has a Tier 2 shortage. I mean, we have problems right now, Mark. Can you address any of the money being spent to address climate change?
And that's the thing, is it's getting us to a 40% reduction by 2030, which is very significant. My hope is that we're not past the point of no return. We know we're very close to it, but this has got us now tackling it. I think, you know, there are more things that we will continue to try to do, but right now, this will help, has a bunch of incentives for people for renewables, to buy electric vehicles, to do all the things that we know we need to do to hit those goals. And it was so needed. And I got to tell you, the fact that, you know, Joe Manchin allowed it to happen when we knew this was one of the areas that he wasn't especially good on, it goes to how strongly that, you know, President Biden and the Senate Democrat leadership did in negotiating with him to get a good, strong bill.
Well, President Joe Biden handing Senator Manchin the pen was quite an amusing scene to my mind.
He said, "I never had a doubt," right, Tom?
One other thing, though, Mark, you know, of course, the fiscal conservatives very concerned about the cost of this bill. Mark, how much does this add to the debt and deficit over the next 10 years?
Oh, you set me up. It reduces it. What Republicans always tell you they're going to do, we actually do, and we did in that bill. So we're actually reducing it because that was something Joe Manchin thought was important. So did Joe Biden, and that is in there. But also, again, it's paid for by people who've learned to game the system. Corporations that pay 1% or 2% effective rates when we all pay significantly more than that, it's giving them a minimum tax. And it's also going after those people who do the stock buybacks as ways for the ultra wealthy to be even wealthier. And it's bringing in revenue from that. So it did a bunch of things that we wanted to get done, the Build Back Better agenda. I'm glad that the Progressive Caucus held out as long as we did, because it kept it alive to get to this point. And now we have some really strong provisions that make sure the average person isn't paying for this, but they are benefiting from this bill.
folks, our good friend Mark Pocan, my congressman, Mark, got to ask you, electoral college reform. I understood there was a legislative piece, and it's not going to solve all the problems, but it would make it much more difficult for, let's say, a Trump-like character to try and be instilled in the presidency, even if they didn't win. Mark, could you see one more legislative piece coming down the pike?
Yeah, I support electoral college reform, but I don't know if I honestly can tell you I see it coming down the pike. I mean, when you have a 50-50 Senate and a 4-seat margin in the House that soon will become 3 seats, it's going to be hard to see a lot of more big things happen. I think you may have seen the big things happen for the session. We only gave you 4 of them. In addition to postal reform, by the way, which is guaranteeing 6-day delivery, something Republicans have wanted to get rid of. But, you know, what I would really like to see, if we could, I just don't think there's going to be the ability for those same reasons I said, the tight margins, is something that deals with Social Security and Medicare. You know, Republicans, thanks to Ron Johnson, I love when he occasionally tells the truth, he wants to cut your benefits, what you've paid into out of your own paychecks into Social Security and Medicare. He now wants to put, instead of protecting it like we do now, he wants to put it on annual budgeting where annually it could be cut. And if we ever have a government shutdown, which we've had a few of, all those benefits would be frozen and stopped. That's Ron Johnson's idea of a good time. And I think, you know, for Democrats, we want to make that fund available in the future, increase the benefit for seniors. And there's a really great proposal out there that John Larson from Connecticut has. I think it's Social Security 2100. I support that. That's the bill I'd really like to see us get done, but I think it may be difficult with the margins and the time we have left.
Mark, the legislative successes that you have had, how do you connect that? Connect the dots for the American people. How do you sell this to the American people? Because I tell you what, I mean, Joe Biden has very low approval ratings, and I think he's had a fairly successful term. But people don't feel like that if the Democrats don't go out there and effectively message. So other than coming on the greatest radio show ever, Mark, how do you and your colleagues sell it to the American people?
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. You know, COVID sucked, and coming out of COVID still sucks, right? You know, it's been tough for a lot of people. You know, first we had shutdowns and a pandemic and you know, all the death from COVID. And then, you know, we reopen, and now we have global inflation because of COVID, and we're still coming out of that. We've got supply chain issues that are driving people like me as a small business owner pretty crazy. There's a lot of reasons that people are not satisfied, and it's not Joe Biden's fault that there's worldwide, you know, inflation, for example, but he's the person who's the leader during this time. I think what we need to do is explain that we're putting people over politics. You know, all the proposals that I've talked about, $1,400 checks, we're in people's pockets. Everyone knows that. The fact that people were able to get vaccines, the fact that kids could go back to schools safely, the fact that we're creating the jobs and investing in infrastructure, we passed that. The fact that we're now going to lower prescription drug costs and lower costs out of pocket for seniors. I mean, those are all real things. What are Republicans about? Well, whatever MAGA, you know, wants, whatever Donald Trump decides for a very small extremist element within the Republican Party they want, that's the politics that they put forward. So it's fighting over things like the freedom to make your own decision over your body if you're a woman, the freedom to love who you want to love, depending on your sexual orientation. Go down the list of things that they're trying to play politics over versus the very real things we've got done. I think that's the contrast we need to make.
Congressman, final minute. I got to ask you, Liz Cheney lost her primary last night. It's got to feel weird. I was kind of rooting for her, Mark. How about you?
Well, I don't know that much about Wyoming politics. Because I'll just put it that way. But what I can tell you is, you know, I'm glad that she's going to continue to do what she's been doing in Congress, which, you know, she is a conservative Republican. She and I have many ideological differences, but she is someone that you can talk to and work with and who wants to expose Donald Trump for the damage he's doing to her party. I give her credit for that.
Mark Pocan, always give you credit for coming around. Thank you, Congressman. More Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Thanks, Mark.